J&J, Wednesday, September 17th edition of the show. And, you know, we always like to keep it 100 on the show, keep it real on the show. This is going to be a tough one. We lost Les Smith overnight. Woke up to that news this morning. And, you know, it's just a gut punch, you know. We've talked a little bit about Les Smith's health struggles the last couple of weeks. He got back to Memphis from Belize a couple of weeks back. I know Jason was really, really excited to get him back in the States and spend some time with him. I don't think they quite knew at the time just, you know, how dire the situation was. They were just grateful to get him back. And, you know, the latest information that Jason posted yesterday was that the operation that Les had was successful. And then the next update is that Les is gone. So it's been a very difficult time for my partner and my brother. And, you know, I'm going to get it together. When you do a show with somebody every single day, you know, and you're in the trenches with that person every single day. I mean, Les was a part of the show. Les was a part of the show when we launched it. That's right. I still think about Tiny Whiny. and it always makes me smile. When you do a show with somebody, you know, the reality is that, you know, their pain becomes your pain. I mean, you just kind of feel it, you know, you just can't help but feel it. And so to be sitting here and doing this exact show, by myself, after Jason lost a parent for the second time in 2 years, and it's really incomprehensible. And I'm just thinking about him. You know, I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about him, and the pain that he must be feeling right now. So, you know, I've texted with him and I've talked to him, and, you know, obviously I told him, man, don't even worry about it, bro. Tony, I got the show, man. Take, you know, cause I can't imagine. You know what I mean? I just can't imagine, because I know how close he was with his dad and how much he respected his dad and how much he looked up to him. Les Smith was an amazing man. You know, every time we got a chance to talk to him on the show, every time we got a chance to have him in, it was a privilege. And, you know, I don't know how you measure, you know, or how you mark the measure of a man, but what I can say is that it's just been unbelievable to see the tributes come in, just wave on wave on wave of, man, Les Smith helped me, or man, Les Smith did this for me, or man, Les was just a joy to be around. Or I mean, it's just been non-freaking stop of tributes from people, of testimonials from people of Les's character. And it's not just Jason. Obviously, I feel for his brother Jeff. I feel for CJ. I feel for Jeff's daughters who are having to navigate, you know, the loss of two grandparents. You know, in a very short time. Very difficult. We're gonna get through it as best we can. You know, we're all thinking about Jason and his family. I do want to share a word from Les Smith. Man, just what a guy. What a freaking guy. Just, I called him my black dad. I'm sorry, Brad. Damn.
You're good, man.
Les Smith wrote this on Easter of this year, and it's his words And I think it just kind of sums up, you know, the kind of man that he was and his outlook on life. And I think it's good for all of us. But Les Smith said, "Easter always marks a time for reflection and of the renewal of a hope for a better life ahead. I've been going through that same transformation in my life. I've now lost two wives and many friends in a few years. I live alone, often thinking to myself, why am I still here? Still every day rising up from my bed to face another day. Oh, don't get me wrong, because I still appreciate doing just that. But with all the setbacks and personal losses we all suffer, there is the assurance that we, in fact, are not alone. We have our faith, our friends, our families, and hopefully our health to propel us forward to our next plateau in life. So on this day when we should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, let us make our own personal covenant to love, to laugh, and appreciate all that is good in your world." And I just, that's Les Smith. That is Les Smith. And I can't do a tribute better than Jason can do a tribute. And I'm really excited, you know, for when that time comes. Because, you know, I think anybody that ever worked with Les would tell you just how great he was at his job. I mean, the man at Fox 13 reported on more than 8,000 stories in 13 years before he retired in 2014. And I think anybody that came in contact with him just fell in love with him. I mean, how could you not? The guy's on freaking sports radio giving out bets from Belize to Tiny Whiny. I mean, he didn't really know the players. He didn't know. I mean, but that was who he was. And I'm gonna tell you why he did that. I'm gonna do my best to tell you why he did that. But he did that segment not because he was some avid college football fan. He did that segment not because he was some sports betting fan. He did that segment because he loved his son. Norton Hurd IV is the coach and program director of Team Thad, playing a pivotal role in the launching and operation of Tennessee Christian Academy. He joins us every Wednesday, and he joins us now. Hurd, what's good, man?
Oh, man, everything good. How about yourself? Everything is good.
You know, hurting for our man, you know, Jay Smoove, who obviously lost his dad, so... just hurting for him and, you know, doing the best I can to hold it down. You know, that's all we can do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, man. I know I've been talking to him from the past weeks or whatever. It felt like he was going to check on him at the hospital.
Yeah.
I didn't ever know no clarity, like, was he getting out or how deep it was. But I know he had been making the hospital runs, or we was on the phone, and he would say, "This the hospital." Actually, just yesterday, he was like, "It's the hospital. Call me back." So, yeah, praying for his family, all condolences. You know, Jason, his family, and you know, his father was a legend to the city. So, you know, it's always tough times when things like this happen in this state of life.
Absolutely. All right, what's give me a weekly update. What's next for TCA? Like, is it? I know you still had some, so you got to fill out the roster, and then we're on to the season. Like, what's the next step, you know, for TCA before everything gets rolling?
Pretty much, you know, the roster is it's 9 kids currently on there. So the way prep school works, you know, you're not playing in no, you know, playing more of a national league than you're playing on a Nike thing. So it's not like your normal TSAA. The deadline is for the people kid. You can add all the way up to maybe November, December-ish if it's not from another Nike team, kind of. So right now we just rolling with what we have, and then, you know, if it makes sense, you know, someone would be added. But, no, most of the kids are here with the team because, you know, we didn't do the online thing, if you remember, John. We go to a real private school. So, you know, that school started some prep schools – people go to them because you only got to go 3-4 hours and you can work out. No, we go to a real school, Tipton Rosemark, Dr. Ware, Dr. Graham, I always have to mention them for their hospitality. And, you know, that's a real school to go to school, 7-8 hours a day. So now everything is locked and loaded. And, you know, most of the people that have something to do with the process is here. And just like school ball, John, it starts around November. It's just like, it's just unlike school ball where you can't start practicing to a certain time. You know, they can start practicing now.
Gotcha. So you're saying it's not like reach your dream prep from back in the day where it was like the address took you to like an empty vacant building like in the middle of nowhere, bro. Man, Gerald Hamilton was ahead of his time, bro. You know, you got to give it up to him.
Hey, man, look, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know anything.
I'll send you some info after the show, man.
I actually seen Gerald. I hadn't seen him in years. I forgot. I seen him somewhere 3 months ago, and it was just a short walk by. We probably talked about 30 seconds, if that, good seeing you type of thing. So, but no, but I think he invented that right when he was deemed ineligible from the switch from ECS to Lausanne, right? So that was like a late thing I think he had to put together for at the time some had listed as, you know, arguably the number one player in the country, you know, if not top three.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely just a vehicle to get him, you know, I'm sure, you know, his best laid intentions, all that. So anyway, all right. So we're working on getting that done. Let me ask you this from a big picture standpoint about the NBA, and I'm just, and it's not, you know, grassroots, but they have this, this expansionism, you know, sort of obsession. Like they want to start this European league, in 2027 or 28. I mean, it's like they're more focused on expanding, it feels like eastward than they are, you know, in the United States. What do you think of their expansion ideas to Europe? Like, do you understand? Like, I mean, as somebody, I'm sure you follow grassroots basketball worldwide. I mean, is there something to be had there for the league in Europe?
It's for sure. So I haven't dug deep in on the 27-28, what they're trying to do in the NBA. I know even on the EYBL right now, you know, you have your normal, your Canada teams and stuff like that. But then on the EYCL, man, you got teams all the way from, I can't think, but other countries, you know, because I would run into guys. They're like, I'm from here. So I think the NBA is always intrigued, or Nike, or intrigued, where any of the shoe companies with, you know, getting the next Luka early, you know what I mean? And not, you know, or competing with how they do things there, and that 15-year-old is already, you know, now because of the money, some of them guys are actually, you know, coming here going to college now, you know, because of the NIL, they're able to go to high major now and make their money. So with that, and then their value too, coach over there, you know, they, if they're going to be a basketball player, whatever, the education system set up where they train them younger, they can train longer at the day, their school shut down. My only thing with that would be, if you're saying the team is going to be in the NBA, John, I just always get confused about, or even EY, the travel setup.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all going to be it's going to be a separate thing. It's going to be like NBA Europe. I don't know.
They want to do a lead over there.
Man, like there was an announcement today from Britain. Donald Trump goes over there. The next thing we hear is that they're investing, you know, millions and millions of dollars into the grassroots game in Britain.
Really?
Yeah, which isn't our man OG Anunoby from there? Isn't he from Britain?
Yeah, that sounds right.
He was born in London. I don't know if he grew up there.
No, OG Anunoby was born in America.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to fix his wiki, man. His Wikipedia is outdated.
I could be outdated. I know his daddy is from Africa, and one of his brother and sister was in London. But from my understanding, you know, because that's why he never had to get no port or nothing, you know, nothing
right.
extra. He was in Missouri his whole life.
Yeah, it says he moved here when he was four, so basically he doesn't have any.
Oh, 4 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, he doesn't have any recollection of.
Don't remember, because I used to ask him about it over there. He used to be like, I don't know nothing about that. Okay, so he just don't remember.
Yeah, so, okay, so OG doesn't care. Is there any NBA guy from friggin' England? I guess not. I guess that's why they're trying to start investing in it, man. I don't know. It seems tough.
Yeah, NBA, I always want to be one step ahead. So they going to try to go figure it out and just, you know. They like I say, half of the NBA, well, I ain't going to say half, but a good amount of the NBA that actually are contributors are not from America. So, I mean, the NBA is probably the most world game. Well, I can't say that because baseball is too, but NBA is a pretty world game. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so, for they always keep their eye, like even let's say the Grizzlies or any NBA team, you know, like a pro scout. Like, so office is going to have teams going, I don't know, 5-10 pro scouts is going to evaluate kids. Like, but they have their own foreign pro scouts that all they do is evaluate all the foreign leagues and stuff too and bring information back about like who they should be looking over there and drafting and stuff like that. So it's definitely a NBA is a World Cup sport.
The last MVP from America was James Harden 7 years ago. So there you go. I mean, that tells you everything is that, you know, this we have been overtaken, no question about that. We're talking to Norton Hurd, the fourth team coach and program director of Team Thad.
Well, you messing my introduction up, bro. Yeah, I know my guy out, but
yeah, I know.
Whatever, but I can't replace
Jason, man. All right, I'm doing the best.
Man, you
I
said team director, coach. Like, what
bro,
is that?
When
like
Jason's
saying,
in here, he gasses him up so
nah,
good.
No, nah, well, yeah, that's the problem. Like,
my
these,
goodness,
these guests they get really used to that treatment when Jason brings them in, and I can't. I can't compete.
Gas.
Like, you know, I'm just like straight to the point.
Hey, Brad, even if it ain't the gas, at least the man said coach team direct. Like give me just
bro,
a simple.
No, but, like, we can't hold a you know, like, Jason over right here. He'll come on. 10 minutes of the 25 minutes is team director and pro. I mean, this guy, man, he just
yeah, no, I mean, and look, I'm a little flustered today. All right, I'm going through,
going
you know,
on
quite a lot, but yeah. I will.
Nah, that's
by
real.
By the end of this segment, I'm gonna get it right. I promise you that.
How many jobs you got? How many programs you running, bro?
He runs a lot, actually. That's why I get confused. I mean, he's got so many jobs. He's got more than I do.
Got a school now. My God.
He's a dean.
Yeah, he's got to stroke all the deans and the docs. He's over in Tipton County.
He's the chancellor of Tennessee Christian Academy.
Yeah, thanks to the chancellor out there.
You see how Judge said, I'm going to get it right before I get all Brad. He that co-worker that don't start working to the end of his shift. You know what I mean?
He runs through the tape.
That's crazy.
Facts.
Hey, let's not clock.
Hey, Judge, the last 30 minutes, now you got all this energy. You've been both.
No, I see. That's it, man. Hey, he's clocking me today, man. I don't know if I like it. All right, let me ask you about some potential landscape shifts in college basketball. Matt Norlander of CBS Sports reported this week that NIL has kind of, I don't know if we'd say like hit a halt, but there is a lot of confusion, according to him, between college basketball coaches, between players, and most of it is related to 2025 payouts and 2026 players expecting 2025 money and not getting that same payout. Are you hearing that? Are you dealing with that? Is NIL coming back to earth in your experience? Like, what have your dealings with in that front, you know, been the last couple of months?
So it's funny. I was talking to a high major coach 3 weeks ago, and he had kind of told me that some of the better kids in 26 probably should consider taking a post year and go 27 because the money is not there in 26, but it will be in 27. And it wasn't so much of they were losing money or it was a hold or a cap. His thing was it costed so much to retain the players that they already had with good stats. And this was an SEC school. He was like, well, you know, this one player making 2 minutes, making net, we don't have number eight. So, and these guys we're expecting to retain. So we have to have money for them. You know, they told me about this other blue blood in the conference. They was giving everybody $2 billion, but they didn't have it like them. So that's what he was saying to me. He said he think it would be right back good in 27, but the 26 class, the money wasn't, as crazy as they expect.
Well, I just wonder, like, you know, If you're in Memphis, I mean, does that give you an opportunity? I do think Memphis's money will be better in 2026, but does that kind of give you an opportunity if you know that? Like, if you know that 2026 is going to be kind of down and nobody's going to have money, I mean, does it give you a chance sort of to, I don't know if save is the right word, but to just prepare for the cost going up in 2 years? I mean, how do you handle that if you're a place like Memphis?
I mean, I think Memphis is in its own boat, and it has to understand what it's good at, right? And so for me, I think Memphis will always, you know, compete for good players, because this is the thing. Whoever come up with the top 20, you know, transfer portal, okay, boom. You already know they're going to be offered $2 million or whatever, right? But that's where evaluation come in. And I still think Memphis has enough money and enough prestige to continually put a top 20 team together, because it's money does matter a lot to a lot of people, but it is so many good players, where if there are good players out there, that if you evaluate properly, you can put a good team together.
Right. And it's like, that's become more, I mean, it just has, it's like, evaluation and sort of how much you sort of designate the salary cap to that player. I guess those two things kind of go hand in hand, but I mean, it feels like misevaluations are more costly than ever, because like if you pay, you know, $3 million to a dude and he comes in and he's just okay, like that, like it's hard to overcome that, because you probably missed out on $2.5 million guys that would have been better.
Exactly. I don't think it hurts, like, you know, the SEC and Big Ten schools. Mm-hmm. I think they got to be accountable if they get a wrong person $2 million. But, you know, I don't think it, but especially everybody else, yeah, I think you definitely got to make sure you're close to making the right decision when you're giving out a crazy amount of money.
What do you think of Stokes playing football? The number one player in the country, Tyron Stokes, is I saw this week he's got on pads, he's out there at practice. If you were guiding him, like I guess it doesn't matter, like go play. But I mean, that's not like, you're the number one player in the country in basketball, bro. Why would you risk getting hurt in football? Like, that just seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I saw that, and he's so tall. And things can happen. No, because like,
I know, but he looks kind of silly, bro. He looks kind of slow out there. It's like, bro, you don't need to be playing football, man. You're too big for that.
I mean, he probably just want to get some highlights to show his kids one day. You know,
right?
Like, you could be the best actor in the world, right, and make $100 million a film, or the best. But somebody go call you out of the reunion and be like, you don't know how to do number talk radio, or you don't know how to do number playback, or you don't. And you, as a man, you always want to show, like, I was a chef before, let me show you this. Or I did do tennis. And so this must be the moment he want to have in there. And I, granted, as big as he is, he's probably going to get a couple touchdowns this year. And I just think he wants that to be part of his memory bank. But I will be cautious because I would be cautious because I remember when Thad played quarterback, right, and for Mitchell, he was tall, and he played it in middle school. And by the time we got to 8th, 9th grade, he was getting, chipped in the legs. And his family said, I think you're a basketball player and we don't want to, you know, mess nothing up. So I know you like it, but it's time to totally focus on that. So I just, if he get hit the wrong way out the game three, if I'm right. him, I just leave it alone. You know what I mean? And don't push it too much, because he's already have, you know, with today's game and, like you say, NIL and a lot of money, like, that's one 2026 ain't worried about no money. I tell you that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, 2026. So, you know, he already. But these days, I'd be real and not count his pockets and say I know any whereabouts. But I'm sure also agents start so early now, and financial people, that he's probably already pretty good in life, that he could probably take some risks that, you know, guys before him couldn't in his position.
No question. I know we're going a lot of places, but
I mean, you.
I can go. We good.
Yeah, I know, yeah, and I appreciate that.
I'm with you. We good.
Your versatility, for sure. You know, you when you started doing this, in well, I don't how long you've been doing the grassroots thing, like at a high level. How long has it been?
You know what's crazy? I actually been doing this because I started so young. This would be Team Thad, like 13th year or something this summer. 14, I kind of been around it close to 15 years.
Yes.
And a cool story, John, that I sent to Jason yesterday and I sent to you. Jason did a big story on me August of 2015 about, like, how all the college coaches were coming. This was, like, after LeBron and all them had. I had sent, like, 6-7 people high major, then came back with LeGerald, Vic, Nick Marshall, and I was game with Jalen Fisher. So it was like all the college coaches was raving about the young guy that's putting these good teams together. We had guys at Memphis. I'm like, you know, 23, 24, 25 at the time. And Jason did a bit. He came over to my mother's house. I guess he was still at the CA at the time. This was August 2015. And we cleaning the storage, and my daughter gets it the other day and thought, man, he was on the front of the sports, and she reading. And this was 6 months before she was born. She was born in February 2016. And when I looked at that paper, John, I'm like, I actually been doing this at a high level for a long time, because this is August of 2015. That was 10 years ago.
Wow. How about that? And so in that time, mm-hmm. and I actually have to bring this up. In that when you started, you know, 15, 16, 17, however long ago it was Rivals, it was Scout, it was ESPN, 247 eventually came on the scene. Now On3 has come on the scene. On3 has, like, bought Rivals. There's, like, this. There's been this, like, big consolidation of all these scouting services. And now I guess it's basically just On3 and 247 with a little bit of ESPN in there as well. But I'm just is that a good thing? Like that it's there's been this consolidation, or do you think it's a detriment to the kids that, you know, there aren't as many different scouting services, or is it better that it's kind of streamlined now as opposed to having 6 or 7 different services these days?
So, John, when I answer your question, because I'm in it deep, it's like a two-part answer, because I want to make sure I'm giving you and the listeners the real. So whoever this guy is, he really smart. The guy who owned Rivals, and I might be saying it a little backwards, he sold it to Yahoo. He started 24/7.
Yep.
And sold that for plenty of millions. Then he started On3.
Yep.
And so this guy right here is amazing, whoever he is.
Shannon Terry is his name.
Okay, so now Rivals is pretty much junk last few years. So it pretty much just been 247 ESPN On3. Now he just bought Rivals back, and Rivals will kind of cover the high school. This just happened within the last couple months. And then On3 will be for college. He always find a way of finding the next up-and-coming writer and the content to make it go. So I would say to that defense, John, yes, a little more limited, but actually not, because me and guys like me and you know that only Rivals ESPN 24/7. But now, John, it's for so many independent people, like if me and you was the star of some, that and these parents just so happy to be on whatever, is actually 10 to 20 sites now, John, although the top two or three might be the ones that actually matter as far as Mickey D's votes up. These days, because of social media and exposure, they think it's 20 sites that matter, if that makes sense. They think they're getting overly exposed.
Interesting. That's because they're living it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in that fishbowl, you know what I mean?
And I'm going to be real, guys. I guess business is cool as long as it's helping the kids and as long as you get what you want. Like, right now, John, if you want to sell an idea, like, somebody might think that idea is $2, but if somebody else come around and offer you $2 million, somebody found value in it. So I say that to say basketball is about, and the youth sports is about money now. Not saying in a bad, manipulative way, but like when we came up, you had to earn your way into a camp. It was only one, I don't know if you remember these days, John, it was only one video mixtape that was Hoop Mixtape, and you couldn't buy it. Mm. It had to be earned. That's when you first heard about a Kia car and you saw the John Wall thing to go about. Now, not saying you don't deserve it, but it's the complete opposite. You can pay $350 to get to this camp. You can pay a film guy, whether you only scored 2 points or on JV, $100 to make you a mixtape. You know, and so it's like things are a little different now because everybody can get access to everything, you know, if you have the right connections and funding. But that don't ultimately get you no D1 goal or no NBA. You still got it, got to be for real. But I'm just saying from the youth age, you can get all these things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Herd, man, great stuff. Always appreciate your time. He is Norton Herd IV, Team Thad, Program Director, Coach, Chancellor, Dean, Headmaster of Tennessee Christian Academy. I think we got I promised you I got it done by the end, man. Thank you for the time, as always.
Collegian Academy, not Christian
My bad.
Academy.
Collegian.
I am a Christian, but yes, Collegian Academy.
Yes,
yeah.
My bad. I'm still working. We haven't played a game yet, so give me a little grace. You know, once we play game, you know, we'll know for sure collegiate. But collegian and Christian, you know, it can be both. You know, we bring it all together. Herd, thanks, brother.
Yes, sir. Bring it all together. I'm the team, coach, rector, whatever you said. Have a good day.
All right, my man. Yep, he is Norton Herd IV. Always appreciate his time. Yeah, no, he's right. There is a high standard on this show of introduction.
Yeah, I mean, we try to throw the gas out there before we start the interview.
You have to really make sure you hit all the accolades and all the superlatives. You know, there's no doubt about it.
It's a lot about respect on this show. You know, we show ultimate grace and glory.
We do respect burgers at 1 o'clock on Mondays, you know, and we absolutely have to, you know, respect our guests. So yes, you know, it's just Herd continues to add roles. So I'm having to sort of, you know, I feel like I'm dancing on marbles a little bit there.
We need a cue card here.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to Norton Herd IV for joining us on the show. We'll come back. Jeff and I had an interesting conversation about, you know, this Arkansas game and exactly what it means. He asked me to quantify it. Maybe we can continue that discussion when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Obviously, Jason is out this week. Rest in peace to Les Smith. This is kind of like the tribute show to Les Smith, you know? But big game this weekend on Saturday for the University of Memphis as they host Arkansas. I think the last I saw is that this number has come down to a round 7. You know, basically we can call it 7 minus 115 for the Razorbacks. It was as high as 7.5, but again, that's been bet down a little bit. So I'm almost positive this is about where they were when they played Missouri last year on a neutral, or not last year, but 2 years ago on a neutral. So, I mean, Memphis always kind of gets priced as about a touchdown underdog in these kinds of games for the most part. and I was on with Jeff today, as I am every Wednesday, and, you know, he asked me to quantify, can you even quantify the meaning of this game? and, you know, obviously, like, yes, I can. I can quantify it. Mm-hmm. It's really not that important to me.
Really?
It's just not that important to me. Because I'm taking up an aerial view of this program. And I'm not, you know, putting it under a microscope and just, analyzing it with, you know, with a fine tooth comb where game to game. I mean, the picture has to be bigger for the University of Memphis. They don't play in the SEC. They're not going to be playing SEC teams in the future. You know, and the reality is that I think when you're out, I mean, yes, the ambition every single year is to grab that college football playoff spot. No doubt. But it feels a little silly for me to come in here and say that that's the standard that Memphis should be held to when they've never even played in a conference championship game under Ryan Silverfield. Like, we gotta walk before we run a little bit, right? I mean, again, Memphis's resources are that of a team that should be competing for a playoff spot every single year. However, they have never done that. They just have never done that. And so, again, would it be great? Would fans get a you know, a ton of enjoyment out of beating the SEC's Arkansas Razorbacks? Absolutely. No question about it. It'd be a great day on Tiger Lane. It'd be a great week. It'd be awesome. You know,
yeah.
you probably never get to play those two home games against or the two road games against Arkansas because they don't want to do it anymore either. So that would be fun to kind of send them out with an L. All that narrative, yeah. Fan base enjoyment. And look, that does matter. You know, being a fan, you should enjoy things,
yep,
without having things to be the best ever. You know, I think, you know, that, you know, if I was, you know, telling my kids that, you know, every day doesn't have to be the best day ever. Every weekend doesn't have to be the best weekend ever.
Yep.
You know, you just kind of have to enjoy things as they happen. That's cool. That's you know, that's what we should really all aspire to do. But if Memphis wins this game on Saturday, they upset Arkansas. They beat the SEC's big, bad Arkansas Razorbacks. But they don't go on to win the American. I don't care about the win over Arkansas anymore.
Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it's kind of a free swing.
I mean, it's literally like, I don't even know what you get out of winning, right? Other than just being able to say,
ranked,
we beat the Arkansas Razorbacks. Maybe, I doubt it though. Arkansas is not ranked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Memphis would be, you know, 4-0 in these circumstances, but I don't think a win over Arkansas is getting you into the top 25 at home. I just don't. I refuse to believe that because they were barely. They're not. They're receiving votes right now, but they're probably 10 to 12 spots out. Are we saying that a win over an unranked Arkansas team? I mean, and look, we can analyze their record and say, well, they almost did this, they almost did that, and la 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 la. They're unranked, man. Their perception is that they're a middling SEC team. Is a win over a middling SEC team in Memphis at home,
right,
is that going to jump you 10 to 12 spots? I think it is not. So, yeah. You know, it's just it's really the only thing that's at stake here for Memphis is, do you give your fans that moment? Do you give your fans that moment of, we just beat another SEC team? But I contend it is literally no different. And again, it was fun. It was great. We had a blast with it. But it is no different than when Memphis beat Mississippi State at home.
Yeah,
3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Or how long ago?
Yeah, it's like, been a couple. Right. The Calvin Austin scoop and
yeah,
score.
Like Mississippi State was a 6-win team.
Yep,
they weren't particularly great. Memphis beat them.
Yep.
I can't even tell you what Memphis went on to do. I have no idea.
And I will say, from that perspective, of course, that was Mike Leach. But you probably expedite the firing of Sam Pittman at the very least. And I know that's not a Memphis fan thing, mm-hmm. but that's probably an outcome of this, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
you probably fringe ranked. I'm not trying to counter your thought here, by the way, because
no, I mean,
I,
it's,
that's
it's
why
fine
I really,
if you would counter.
Yeah.
I'm not yeah. offended.
No, I was really hoping they would beat Ole Miss to make it more significant, to be honest with you. Like, I was rooting for Arkansas in that Ole Miss name, not because I hate Ole Miss, but
yeah.
because I was like, man, it would really kind of give a little bit more juice to this thing.
But I mean, Memphis beat Mississippi State,
yep.
right?
Yeah,
and I don't remember what that Mississippi State team ended up being.
That was a that.